Thank you, Dorothy, for asking me to read this passage. As many of you are aware, I used to be involved in hearing care. And I don't know if any of you have seen memes going around Facebook of people being fitted with cochlear implants. They always end the same way. The person who is fitted and the person watching them cries when that device is switched on. Having your hearing restored is a big, big deal. And that's what this passage is about. So let's read it. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephraphra," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He's done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak."
Father, we thank you for Andrew Main coming to speak to us this morning. We pray that you will give him a clear mind and the courage to speak what you have given him to say to us this morning. And we pray for ourselves that we will be willing to enlarge our idea of who you are and how you love us, willing to change and grow, because you never meant us to be static and stunted, but to keep growing and learning and rejoicing more and more in what you've done for us. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Great to be here. It's been my great privilege this year to travel several places as part of my ministry. This is included in that, of course, this morning, but also to South Africa and to most recently to Tanzania, which is I'm fulfilling a promise this morning from the result of my last trip to Tanzania, where I was given this wonderful shirt as a gift as I left, and I promised the next time I spoke or preached that I would wear it. So I'm fulfilling that promise this morning. My mother's going to take a photo as evidence that I can send back, and for her keeping, I believe. Please do have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 7. We are going to be working our way through verses 31 to 37 in this story of hearing being restored, but see that it's about even more than that. Well, we've prayed and asked for God's help, so that's great. Let's now turn and think what God's word would say to us this morning. Well, this story is actually all about farming. It seems like a strange thing to say on the surface of it. And that in one level is quite appropriate for this story, for it's a strange miracle, strange details. Why would the gospel writer Mark want to include this story in his account of Jesus? Jesus seems a bit crude here even. But for me, and if you're like me, it's the strange nature of this story that draws you in. Now, of course, as always, it is context that is key to making sense of this story and what it's actually about. And so we're going to consider that as we go through. A bit like when you're following your way on a map, you look up to get your bearings every now and again. That's what we're going to do this morning, rather than considering all the context up front. But we're going to see three stages in this strange story. There is a welcome, there is a withdrawal, and there is wonder. And in this, there is encouragement and challenge for all of us. But first, a welcome. in verses 31 and 32. You see, Jesus has been on a journey, but at the start of this passage, we see Jesus arriving. Look again at verse 31. Again, leaving the region of Tyre, he went by the way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee through the region of the Decapolis. This journey, though, is a strange one. He goes north to come south. It's a bit like going from Margaret River to Manjimup via Capel. It doesn't make much sense. That's not the point. But here, Jesus is arriving. And on arriving, there is a crowd approaching in verse 32. They brought to him a deaf man who also had a speech difficulty. Not told who or how many people come, but it seems to be a crowd. But the focus of attention is this deaf, mute man that is with them. And in this, we see that their approaching is actually about asking. Verse 32 again. And they beg Jesus to lay his hand on him. Notice here, they beg Jesus to touch this man. Now, again, these people are not identified. We don't know who they are, but clearly they do know something of Jesus. And specifically, it would seem, his ability to heal just by a touch. Yet this arriving, approaching and asking should surprise us. For the destination is the Decapolis, which should have ring alarm bells for readers of Mark's gospel. For whilst it's true that many Jews lived in this area, it is actually a Gentile area. And worse, this is the same location where Jesus had been confronted by a legion of demons inhabiting a man. Which, after dealing with this situation, the people were so responded to Jesus by begging him to leave. Added to this, of course, for Jesus to touch this man would make him ritually unclean in the eyes of the Jews. And so this miracle is tied to the context of chapter 7, where ritual cleanliness is an issue. An issue in which the Pharisees confront Jesus at the start of this chapter. Jesus then has good reason to reject this request that is put to him. After all, these people had rejected him the first time round, plus he would make himself unclean by following up their request. His response, though, will show us this story is about far more than uncleanliness. For the moment, though, let us notice this surprising welcome. It actually reminds me of what happened for me when I visited South Africa in August. I'd never had a previous connection with the church where we were first went to the first week I was there. I thought I was simply tagging along with the other person who had the connection there, who was going to be doing ministry. As it turns out, I arrived a day or two before him. But on my immediate arrival, there was somebody to meet me, to take me. They sat me in a cafe. They told me, just order whatever you want, and it's all paid for. Just go for your life. They gave me an incredible welcome that was unexpected. Much like Jesus' welcome here is unexpected in the Decapolis. But he is made most welcome. And we see this in his arriving, their approaching and asking. Next, though, after this welcome, we see that Jesus makes a withdrawal in verses 33 to 35. Strangely, despite this great welcome, Jesus takes this man away from the crowd. Look at verse 33. So Jesus took him away from the crowd privately. You see, Jesus is not about making this man a sideshow, nor clearly is he worried about the issue of cleanliness. He's quite happy to go with this man. He treats this deaf man like one of his disciples. And yet the story gets stranger still. As Jesus touches this man, again, verse 33, after putting his fingers in the man's ears and spitting, he touched his tongue. Of course, touch for a deaf man would have communicated well. And saliva had, in the day, healing properties, people thought. And it was used by miracle healers that would go around promising healings. And with it, they would use incantations and spells to heal people. And so Jesus seems to be following this pattern. But notice, though, what Jesus does next. Jesus talks to this man in verse 34. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Did you notice this is how the healing actually comes about? Jesus looks to heaven, reminiscent of his baptism and the feeding of the 5,000, anticipating the way he looks to heaven in the Garden of Gethsemane to come. And with this look, there is a deep sigh from him. Suggests his deep concern and heartache for the situation of this man, and hinting at the idea of earnest prayer that is going on. And then finally, he commands, "Be opened," which Mark includes the original Aramaic that Jesus speaks here to make sure we don't miss this. And he gives us the translation, again, to make sure we don't miss this. Jesus is not using some sort of untranslatable incantation or spell that can't be understood. No, he commands the cure. And this, ironically, is how Jesus brings treatment to this man. Verse 35. Immediately his ears were opened, his speech difficulty was removed, and he began to speak clearly. Do you notice the irony here? His ears are opened by a command he cannot hear. This is how Jesus responds to the welcome. It's in a withdrawal. He takes the man away. He touches the man. He talks to the man. And through this, he ultimately heals this man. Well, this withdrawal, again, reminds me of something that I heard on my visit to South Africa. I spent some time in Cape Town and did a walking tour of the city. And at one spot, we stopped and we were shown a statue that they'd newly put up of Nelson Mandela, where he had given his first speech as a free man in 1990. This man that was once rejected and shut away, at this point, was hugely popular. In fact, the day that he came to deliver that speech and he saw how big the crowd had become, he decided to go away with his friends and have a cup of tea instead. Pretty good idea, I reckon. Only later he returned to deliver his speech to the crowd. But this event was so significant, they have now erected this statue at the town hall in Cape Town. But his withdrawal that day is much like Jesus' withdrawal in our story. There's a huge crowd. They seem anticipating. They seem to be here to see Jesus. And Jesus withdraws, takes the man aside to touch, to talk, and to treat him privately. But back to our story. We have seen a welcome and a withdrawal. But notice how the story ends in verses 36 and 37. It's with great wonder. But notice again the irony in this, in the action of verse 36. Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he would order them, the more they would proclaim it. You see, the irony here is this man who is now able to speak clearly is told, "Don't speak." And not just him, but the onlookers too. You see, Jesus had taken him away, but clearly they can't really get away. And as is the case so often in Mark's gospel, people just can't hold it in. It's perhaps like a couple who have just learned they are with child, or somebody that's just been told of a great promotion at work. They can't help but speak. It's amazing, though. These people who once begged Jesus to leave their region, now there is a crowd in this same place that speak of him, even when they are told they are to not. And Mark explains where this action comes from. It comes from their amazement. Verse 37, they were extremely astonished. This paints them then in the same light as people from earlier in Mark's gospel, good Jewish people living in the Jewish areas though. And it shows a drastic change from the last encounter in the Decapolis that Jesus had. And their amazement is explained in the announcement which they make. Again, verse 37. They said, "He has done everything well. He even makes deaf people hear and people unable to speak, talk." You see, they recognize clearly that it is Jesus who has healed this man. And that this is merely a sample of all the things that he has been doing. Their focus, though, is on the healing of a deaf and mute man, which is something we'll come back to. Again, when I was visiting in Cape Town, I went and spent some time at George Whitfield College, right on the coast. And I was travelling with a man who had once been the principal of this college, a great guy and a great fun to travel with. He had done so many amazing things, and yet he was an incredibly humble guy that didn't like to promote himself or speak about himself. And yet when we arrived at the college and we walked through the door and people saw that David was back, they just burst out with excitement and started telling me about all the wonderful things this man had done when he was the principal at college. And even when we went down the street, there was a homeless guy that called out, "Pastor, Pastor, you're back." And he couldn't help but speak of the wonderful things that David had done. Just like the crowd here have seen Jesus do something, been told not to speak, but they can't help it. They have to speak. Why? Because they're in amazement, declaring that he has done all things well. But what really is the point of this story? Well, we could look at this story and use it to show that Jesus is a humble, caring leader and healer. He takes this man away from the crowd. Or we could say that this is a story about cleanliness and the inclusion of Gentiles in God's plans. And that fits the immediate context of chapter 7. Now, have a look at the start later. That Jesus is one who brings healing and wholeness even by using his spit. That he is cleanser and healer. And these ideas are true and right. It's true of Jesus. Yet if we stop at that, and that's all we say, then we miss the true power and majesty of this account and why Mark has put this story here. For this story is all about farming. To see this, think again about the welcome. Mark paints a powerful contrast here in this visit to the Decapolis with the last one. In Mark 5, verse 17, the crowd in the Decapolis there beg that he leaves. Here they beg that he touches. We need to ask, what brings such change? Well, Mark 5, 19 to 20 explains it for us. Consider these words that Jesus spoke to a man there healed of demon possession. He told him, "Go back to your own people and report to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So he went out and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and they were all amazed. You see, it is because of a witness to Jesus. The man healed previously was sent out to proclaim, and that he did. This welcome now then shows the power of that witness. And it's a power that is explained in the withdrawal of Jesus in this instance. For it is not what Jesus does, but what Jesus declares that matters, that brought healing. Mark is highlighting for us and helping us see that it's the words over the works of Jesus that are the significant thing here. And that's what the withdrawal points to. It points to the power of the word of Jesus. Words of and about Jesus are powerful. Such words give power to witness about and of Jesus. Now, though, remember too how the story ends. It ends with wonder of the crowd. Yet consider what these people have seen in the Decapolis and what they've heard about. The first time round, Jesus had cast out a whole legion of demons from people. And yet, it's this private healing that dominates their wonder, says Mark. By this, Mark is pointing to an important truth. For it is God who made hearing and speaking. And more significantly, it links this account with the prophecy in Isaiah that we read earlier. For in verses 5 to 6 of Isaiah 35, we hear about what will happen in the promised age of blessing to come. The eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy, for water will gush in the wilderness and streams in the desert. You see, it links this story to the coming age of God's kingdom breaking in. We see then, this is what is happening in this healing of a deaf and making the mute speak. Mark then is using their astonishment to show us the worth of Jesus. He is the one with God's creative power who comes to bring God's rule and blessing and to restore God's kingdom to the earth. I hope now, though, you're asking two questions. What on earth does that have to do with farming? And so what? Well, the answer comes, again, in getting our bearings as we look up, and this time from Mark chapter 4. There, Jesus had used parables to explain why so many people rejected him and his message despite being God's Messiah. And he explains it like this. He says it's like a farmer sowing seed on a path, shallow ground, or among weeds. You see, the problem, the reason that people reject Jesus is not him or his message, but the problem is with the hearers. This miracle now comes and explains that soil can change. How can it change? Well, it comes in witness to Jesus because of the power of the word of Jesus, which flows from the worth of Jesus. There is hope then even for the hardest of soils. This miracle, in actual fact, is put here in Mark's gospel to symbolize what has taken place in the region of the Decapolis. Once they had proven to be very hard soil that refused to hear, that wouldn't speak of Jesus, that rejected him. But now they have heard and they speak. It's also a miracle that anticipates what Mark is going to talk about next. For he is going to talk about how the disciples have come to hear and to see the truth about Jesus, that he truly is the Christ, even when others around are confused about his identity. So we can understand why Mark would include this strange story. And why it comes right here, just before Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" But it also reveals the need that people have to have their hearts changed if they're to get this. It helps us to see what we need if we are to accept Jesus as King. And this, of course, brings us to our application. You see, the welcome in this story compels witness to Jesus. This miracle shows us what can happen in our world. The ground around us, whether in Bunbury or Margaret River, might appear hard, rocky, or weedy, but it can change. We should not give up in despair when we face such soil all around us. we have great reason to keep pointing people to Jesus. And Jesus' withdrawal reminds us of the power of the word of Jesus. For the healing in this story comes by him speaking, as he does so privately. It urges us and reminds us that we must make words central to our witness and ministry in our world. Of course, it is right that we seek to bless people in all sorts of ways as a church and as we live our lives. But we must include preaching and proclamation as well as promoting Jesus in our world if people are to be changed. For the power is in the word. And it's in the word that we are encouraged. And we can all have a go at this, because it's not about our words or what we think or who we are, but it's the word of and about Jesus that has power. But you might have an objection at this point, for that doesn't seem to fit with this passage. After all, what was it that Jesus commanded these people? He said to them, "Tell no one." Why would he do that? Well, it's because their interest is in his miracles and not his message. They are treating the entree as the main course, the sideshow as the main event. It's much like prosperity teachers and preachers today that are focused on earthly blessings rather than what the earthly blessings are meant to point us to. You see, these people didn't understand their need of spiritual healing. They lacked understanding of Jesus' true mission. They came wanting to see a miracle, not to see the man who did the miracle. They didn't understand that this miracle was pointing to Jesus' greatest work, that he came to restore relationship between God and man. And yet for us, we live on the other side of Jesus' greatest work, which was his death and resurrection in our place. A work that offers eternal and spiritual healing for all who believe. And because that has now happened, it is not right for us to remain silent, but we must speak. Indeed, this is what we're pointed to in the wonder of these people. For it points to the true worth of Jesus, despite his withdrawal. This man Jesus is God's King, who comes to offer true life to all who trust in him. He comes fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies, as Mark makes plain. And it explains why witness to him and why his word is powerful. So I need to ask everyone here this morning, do you see the fullness of Jesus? Or do you just treat him as a good guy, a last resort for help? This Jesus is God's King who offers you a place in God's kingdom. Is your soil hard? Are you rejecting Jesus? If that's you, then ask Jesus, beg Jesus, to work in your heart. Consider the witness, word, and worth of Jesus that we have talked about in this story. In doing this, you will lose nothing, but you have everything to gain. Is your soil softening this morning? Do you feel drawn to Jesus, perhaps even for the first time? Then this is the power of his word at work in you. It is Jesus showing his care for you, for Jesus showing his cure in you. Today is a chance for you to respond and accept Jesus as your King. If so, then please speak to one of the leaders from the church here. But I imagine for most of us here today, the reason that we've come is because we have good soil, that we admit the worth of Jesus. Well, this passage, this story brings a challenge that we live according to this worth. It means submission to Jesus as King in all that we do and all that we are.
regarding purity. It calls us to celibacy or Christian marriage. Regarding generosity, it calls us to give to kingdom work. Regarding church life, it calls us to care for God's people. Regarding outreach, it calls us to be bold and to speak of Jesus. And remember, as we do this, when we find it hard, we shouldn't be surprised. For the soil of the world can be hard, it can be rocky, it can be weedy. But also remember, we can be confident, like farmers planting seed, the seed of his word, bearing witness in the power of the word of Jesus, encouraged by the worth of the one that we serve, the worth of Jesus. This is a meaningful miracle that we've looked at this morning. The lips of the crowd once begged Jesus to leave, but now they beg from him. And in actual fact, we still hear their witness as we read the story this morning. Their welcome reminds us of the power of witness then. The lips of Jesus in response commands compassion and a cure. He brings healing and wholeness to this deaf and mute man. His withdrawal, highlighting the power of his word. And the lips of the onlookers are full of praise of Jesus. They speak more truth than even they knew as they declared that he does all things well. For it declares that Jesus is God's Messiah. And their wonder then reminds us of the worth of Jesus. So yes, this is a strange miracle, but it's clear why Mark recalls it and writes of it. And it's not just that Jesus cures, that Jesus heals and cleanses, or that Gentiles are included as part of God's merciful plan. But this is a story that points to Jesus as God's King, a King who offers hope of restoration to all before God, a King like no other, for he can change the hearts of men through the power of his word. All of this speaks to us and says, get on with the farming, bearing witness in the power of his word, encouraged by his worth. Amen.